You are listening to a message from First Baptist Hall. We hope this message challenges you and encourages you, and you can use this as a resource to grow closer to Jesus Christ. For more information about our church, check out fbchalton.org or follow us on social media at fbchalton. So, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but the pastor is sick. I think his last day of quarantine is Friday or something like that. So he'll be back Sunday, but...
Sick now, or he just quarantined?
I don't really know. Because I don't... I don't know all the terminology. Have you been exposed, or you have it, or is exposure having it, and all this? It's all gray area to me, but... I know he'll be back Sunday, unless something happens. I don't really know. But anyway, so I'm here for tonight, and I want to bring back the prayer time, but I won't be playing tonight. So once I'm done, we're just going to have a time where we'll play music, and it's just silent, and you can just spend time in prayer. We have business meeting, so they will come in and conclude that time for us. For a very exciting business meeting. I'm just kidding. There's nothing different. It's just church conference. That's what it's called. That's the right word. But anyways, I love the time on Wednesday nights that we can spend time in prayer. And I know a lot of y'all have said that y'all love the time too. So as far as I've heard, I don't want to get away from that. So we will have that time, but I will not be guiding us through the prayer time. I'm going to go back in the choir suite, and we're rehearsing on things for Pastor Gevin's 20th anniversary service in a couple of Sundays. So, but before I do, I wanted to walk through Psalm 112, like we normally do a psalm, and then some time of prayer, and just to reflect on what this psalm has to say, and maybe it'll convict y'all like it convicted me, so I'm sure it will. But I'm going to go ahead and pray while y'all are turning there, and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here, God. I pray that you bless this time that we've gathered here to listen to you, learn from you, read your word, God, worship you, and give you glory. Thank you for this building. I thank you for this country that we can come on a night like a Wednesday night and just worship you freely. God, I don't want us to take that for granted. Thank you so much for that. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your son. Thank you for sending your son to die on a cross for a payment that we should have gotten. God, thank you for making a way for us to be with you. God, and I pray that would move us to be a righteous Christian, to be a man who fears you, to be a man who follows you, and to be a man who shares your word. Pray all this in your name. Amen. All right, so yeah, we're in Psalm 112. Like I say every time, I'll say it again. You got to think of these psalms. This one's not going to show as much of it as, but you know, this is poetry. This is stuff that really we just need to take to the extra level, and not just, read it for what it is, but you know, put some emphasis into it. Just see the strength that's being written into these words. And this one right here, Psalm 112, is talking about a righteous man. And it's really kind of giving you some attributes of a righteous man, ones that we can commonly think of, and some that I've noticed that you don't really think of, but some that I've been dealing with and realizing where I lack, and maybe you might see some places that you lack as well. So are we this example? This is what I want us to think of as we walk through this psalm. Does this paint a picture of Hunter Brobes? Does this paint a picture of y'all as you walk through your everyday life? So let's start in verse 1, Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice, for the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. So as we can see, if we were just to summarize, this is giving a list of a righteous man, a man of God. And then that last verse, it just kind of gives the contrast, a short contrast, of the wicked man. Not necessarily in comparison to the righteous man, but the way a wicked man sees a righteous man. And that can also tell us where we're at as well. So I just want to start walking through some of these attributes. Blessed is the man, who fears the Lord. So, as we all know, fear is a word that a lot of people is, you live in fear. You're scared of something. You do things not out of a motivation to want to serve something, but out of a fear of getting hurt, getting abused. That's normally in today's culture how we think of fear, but we're talking about the fear of, how I have always said it is, the fear of when you're at a zoo and you see a lion, you're not necessarily going to just step in the cage and walk up and pet the lion, right? You're going to give the lion his space. That is a fear. I don't wake up every morning scared that a lion is going to come eat me, but I definitely will respect that lion and give that lion his space just in case he is hungry and wants to eat me. Okay, so that's the fear that we're talking about. We're talking about the fear of respect, honor, knowing who God is, knowing the power of God, and respecting that, respecting him, wanting to serve him because of who he is. That man greatly delights in his commandments. And that's another thing that we always have. I say that we always have, that the common Western world thinks of as commandments or rules. I don't want to be a Christian because that's all y'all have to do is follow all these rules. So you think of the first thing is when I have rules, they're obviously bad and I don't want to follow all these rules. But so how could I delight in rules? Well, we all know that the commandments were built or were made for us to have a good life. I mean, the thing of following the commandments is not just God saying, all right, if you're going to be my people, I got these rules for you, and you're going to have to follow them. It's, hey, you're my people, and I want the best life for you, and you will have the best life if you follow these rules. Now, not the best life by our worldly standards. It's not follow the rules, and you'll get a Porsche and a two-story house and as many dogs as you want, and you'll be a millionaire, but you will have the best life as a life filled with God. It's a life filled with the treasures that he has for us, the compassion that he has for people, a full life. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Blessed is the man who respects the Lord and who greatly delights in his commandments. So blessed is the man who respects God and loves his law. That's another way that it's said. Loving what God has given for us. Loving the instruction that God is giving for us because we know what it's there for, because we know the purpose of it. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. You know, in this Old Testament time, offspring was a big deal. It was have as many kids as you can. We need to populate this earth. The best way to create more of a culture of Christ followers is to what? Have your own, you know, so you can raise them up in the ways of the Lord. Children are a blessing for the Lord. This was a big thing in Old Testament times. So that's what he's saying is this man, his offspring will be mighty in the land. That doesn't necessarily mean they'll have a lot of kids. It means they could have a lot of kids. Their kids will be well respected. Their family will be looked up to. The generation of the upright will be blessed. So God doesn't let the generation of the upright, the people that respect him, that love his law, that live according to his word, to just go, I don't want to use the term unnoticed, but God rewards that. Like I said, I'm a big person. I know I probably wear this out of the, like for instance, it says, the generation of the upright will be blessed. Okay, and I'll always add a little thing at the end of this that says, a blessing doesn't mean a car or a two-story house or whatever. I realize that y'all know that, okay? But I feel like in the culture that I grow up in, a blessing, especially with the alternate versions of theology that people experience today in the church, a blessing could be easily confused as something earthly. And it can be. I mean, I'm not saying that you can't be blessed with those things, but I'm saying the ultimate blessing for the Christian is the fact that we get to live with God in eternity, the fact that he made a way for us despite our sin, despite that we were enemies of God. But wealth, starting in verse 3, wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Once again, wealth and riches, what is that? It doesn't have to be earthly. It could be heavenly. A man who respects God is building up heavenly wealth and heavenly riches because of his service to God, because of the fact that he shares the word of God with other people, because of the fact that he's respected, because of the fact that people look at him, look up to him as somebody who is a man of God and respect him. Number 4, verse 4, light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. And so what does that mean? Once again, light dawns in the darkness. That could mean that even though you're in a dark time as somebody who follows God, light's coming in a month. Good times are coming in a month. Good times could be coming in years. But ultimately, good times will be coming when we meet God, right? When we live with him forever and ever in heaven, because we have that hope. That's what it's really talking about, is there's no, you don't just live a life of darkness and die in darkness. There's light that dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. So here's ones that we can hold on to, right? Just go ahead and tack that on. Am I gracious? Am I merciful? Am I righteous? Because sometimes it's a blurred line. You can be righteous. You have to be righteous to be justly merciful, right? Some of us are heavy on the righteous side, so therefore we're more judgmental. I'm not saying that righteousness provokes judgment, but we kind of lean on that. I am better. I'm a good man, and I look at other people in a judgmental way. And we need more grace. We need to give more grace. We need to give more mercy. But we need to be righteous. I had posted on Facebook, I don't know if y'all saw that, but last night I'm not much of a Facebook poster because I spend every day on it on behalf of the church. So I try to get a break from it when I can. And so last night I was just sitting on the couch and scrolling through, and sometimes when I'm on my personal Facebook, a post from the church will pop up, and it was the sermon snippet of our pastor from a couple of weeks ago. And even though I had edited the sermon snippet, I'd heard exactly what he said before, I posted the video. You know, I stopped and listened to it like I'd never heard it before, and I was like, wow, this is really good, you know? And that was one of the things that made me think of kind of who Pastor Gavin is to me. You know, he's a person that when he's speaking the word, I mean, listening to him preach right there, he was going through the verse of you need to hate your mother and father. And he talked about, you know, we don't actually hate, but our love for God makes it look like hate. And, you know, that's normally a tough verse. It's the verse that a lot of people will skip over because it's confusing to most people. But when he preaches the word, He's black and white. There is no in between. There is no gray area. But when you walk through life with him, not that he preaches the word in a different way to you, but he presents the word and then is able to graciously and mercifully walk with you in your trouble, understanding, being empathetic towards your struggle, and love you. And I thought those were two, you normally think of those as two different traits. Somebody's either rigid or somebody's either empathetic, but a good pastor is kind of required to be both, which could be really hard. So that's a great example that we can look at. Don't tell him I said that because then he'll get a big head. In verse 5, it says, "It is well," and I posted on Facebook, so that was, I shouldn't even have said that. He already saw it. "It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts himself," or who conducts his affairs with justice. So that first part of verse 5, deals generously and lends. So I'm the first person to say, I don't really need to pay for somebody's lunch. You know, I just had to buy this, and I just had to fix my car or get my oil changed or whatever it was. It's like I'm not a tightwad, but I am at the same time, because I'll buy myself stuff in a heartbeat, you know. But when it comes to, hey, I probably should pay for that guy's meal, or I probably should give this guy some money, or I probably should help this guy. Normally, monetarily is when I get hung up. You know, I'm willing to help pretty much anybody, but I always find some excuse. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends. Now, there's a lot of people in my life that I can see that. I can see that God has blessed them financially, and they do not hesitate at all to bless other people financially. Who conducts his affairs with justice. This is one that I kind of hung on a little bit and thought about, because who conducts his affairs with justice. For me, I don't know about for y'all, but when I think about justice, I think that justice is kind of scary, just kind of like that word fear, because every time you see justice in today's world, it's somebody who's being convicted of something they've done wrong, and they're put in jail or the death sentence, or, you know, when you think of justice, justice is something that somebody wants, right? But the other end of justice is somebody having to suffer, normally because of the choice that they made. I mean, but, you know, when you think of justice, you think of this hard, you know, the law, when you go to court, you're in trouble type thing. But when you really think about what justice is, it can also give you comfort. You know, justice is there so that two parties can deal with each other in a respectable way, or there's boundaries set for each party so each party knows how to behave, and each party knows when they've crossed the line or done something wrong. I was talking to my wife, and she, if you didn't know, my wife is a cosmetologist. She does hair, and so one of the things we were talking about is how everywhere she's worked, I've noticed that there is no, you know, there's no, the first thing that normally happens when you buy a car or buy a house is you have to sign a contract, right? Like, hey, both parties are going to do what they said they were going to do, and that's what this contract is for. So if you don't do what you're going to do, then you're going to get in trouble pretty much. But I was like, everywhere you've gone, like, nobody's made you sign a contract. Like, you could have, like, destroyed a room or, you know, not paid your rent in a couple of months and, or weeks. They pay it by the week, all right? Them hairdressers, they're serious business. But, you know, you could have not paid your rent for months, which would have been 8 to 12 weeks. And they really can't do anything to you legally because you didn't sign a contract. And so then we've always talked about having her own shop. And one of the things I was like, what we're going to do is we're going to have a contract. You know, I was like, the last thing I want to do is like take somebody to court or anything like that. I said, but it just makes everybody really feel better. It makes me feel better knowing where Lindsay's going now, the place that she just went, the lady handed her a contract. And I was like, this actually makes me feel better, because I feel like there's going to be things, people are going to be held responsible on both sides, and you can expect something out of somebody. And, you know, it's not just this wild, wild west thing. And I really thought about that. That's why that verse stuck out to me, is who conducts his affairs with justice. It's not necessarily a mean person who likes to punish people, but a person who carries out justice, because the true word for justice is what? Just, which is right, the right thing to do. You know, somebody who's willing to establish a relationship in righteousness, or being right, being just, standing up for people who are being treated unjustly. You know, it even goes on farther than just conducting your own affairs, but someone who stands up for the justice of those who are suffering injustice. So verse 6, for the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. You know, we stand firm in our faith. Not much in life can move us. He will be remembered forever. Normally those kind of high and mighty people are, you know, they're legends. You know, the first thing I think of when I think of remembered forever, I don't know if y'all have seen the Sandlot, but he says something like, heroes are remembered, but legends never die. You know, it was Babe Ruth. I don't know if y'all have seen that movie, but it's a classic. Y'all should see it. Anyway, so he will be remembered forever for who he was, because he didn't move, because he stood firm, because he was upright, because he was just, because he was a light in the darkness, because he feared the Lord, because he delighted in God's law. And this is the one that got me the most. In verse 7, it says, he is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. So, because because I'm the media director here, every funeral that happens here, I'm a part of, whether I'm doing sound for it, recording it, playing a song for it. So I see a lot of funerals. And then one of the things I always think about, because it happened, especially this past year, I feel like we've done one every other week. It's been crazy. But I always think about how I would handle a situation if I lost my wife, or if I lost my kids. I know people in here have, and I even was sitting down yesterday or 2 days ago, and I wrote a song about how God gives us blessings, but I don't know how I would deal if I was tested with those blessings. You know, I know I don't deserve the blessings that God gives me, but I've always been fearful of how I would react if something just extremely traumatic happened in my life. Even to the point where, you know, like I'll just, you know, kind of like, God, you better not let this happen to me, because, like, I don't know, I'll go crazy or something. Like, you don't want me to go crazy, right, God? Like, that's pretty much, I'm having a conversation, like, trying to trick him into not letting bad things happen to him. It's ridiculous. But anyways, he is not afraid of bad news. That one really convicted me, because I am afraid of bad news. I don't think about it constantly, but it's always a thought of, like, if my dad calls me at a strange time, I'm like, one of my brothers must have died or something. He doesn't normally call me at this time. Or if I can't get in touch with Lindsay for a while, I'm like, I hope nothing bad happened to her. I am afraid of bad news. But here's the reason why. That second part of that verse says, his heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. And the reason I'm afraid of bad news is because, not that I don't trust God on a daily basis, but I don't trust God to carry me through that situation. I don't trust God in any event. I that's pretty much what that says, is I'm not trusting God in any event that were to happen in my life. You know, working at churches, everybody kind of is like, oh, well, I plan on staying here unless God sends me somewhere else. You know, everybody's willing to go if God wants to send them, and you know, that's fine with that. I've never had a problem with that. but the truth is I'm fine with that, but when losing somebody, that's when I don't feel like I would trust God in that situation. So he is not afraid of bad news. Why? Because we trust God. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what we lose. We can look at Job. It didn't matter what he lost. He still trusted God in the situation. In verse 8, it says, his heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. This is kind of like a battle type verse. His heart is steady. The seat of his emotions. Don't you know, follow your heart, all this kind of stuff. He's not letting his heart get too out of hand. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. That just shows me a mighty person. You know, somebody where they're ready for battle. They're not afraid of bad news, because here's the thing. Bad news is going to come in some form or fashion. But they're going to stand firm. Their heart is going to be steady until they look in triumph on their adversaries, which will be when we finally leave this earth and live with God forever. Verse 9, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted. So this is more verses like we read. He's generous. His horn is exalted. He's looked highly upon. People lift him up. People respect him. He is distributed freely. He's generous. He's given to the poor. Here's the whole thing that wraps it up. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. So there's two things that we can look at in verse and Psalm 112. As a Christian, as somebody who is in the fold of God, somebody who's saved, somebody who's a believer, who's believed and trusted in Christ and lives for him every day, we can use this as a ruler to say, am I this? Do I fear the Lord? Do I delight in his commandments? Do people respect me? Do I look at the wealth and riches that he's given me? Am I a light in the darkness? Am I gracious? Am I merciful? Am I righteous? Am I generous? Am I just? Am I steady? Do I trust God? Do people respect me because of my faith in God? Am I a magnifying glass to people of God? That's one way. The second way, if you're none of those, you might see a person like that and your first response is anger. Or it just bothers you that somebody is that nice. And I feel like I do know people like that. I know people that it just makes them angry because they have so much anger built up in them that to see somebody who is a just, is a merciful, is a righteous, is a generous person. But what does it say that person is? That's the wicked man. Sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. Because the desire of the wicked will perish. So like I said, there's two ways. You can be in the fold of God trying to be this righteous man. Or you can say, maybe I'm that person that's outside the fold of God. Maybe I'm the wicked man. Maybe I'm the one who judges those people. That's what it says right there. The desire of the wicked will perish. Because you can look at it two ways. You can look at it, the desire of the wicked will perish. Or, which means the wicked will lose that desire, will become a Christian, will serve God, and live with him forever, or the desire of the wicked will perish. The wicked will never lose that desire, and therefore the wicked will perish. But either way, evil perishes. So let's just look at that psalm as we study it and just kind of use that as, is that who I am? Am I willing to do those things? Am I gracious? Am I merciful? Am I generous? Am I not afraid of bad news? Are we steady? So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a time where just some soft music's playing, and you can pray through the things that we generally pray through. You know, we pray for our church, pray for our church members. There's a lot out. I don't know specifically, but I just know that, you know, COVID's ramping back up. So if you know somebody that's been affected by that, pray for revival. You can pray for our pastor in his sickness, but also coming up on 20 years. Not many pastors stay at the same church for 20 years. You can just pray for him as he continues to serve us and shepherd us. Pray for our staff members in general. Pray for this room. You can walk around and pray over empty seats that'll be filled on Sunday. Your family members, situations that you've encountered, pray for God to put people in your path that you can be a light to. Just things like that. Just walk. Or maybe you just don't want to pray for anything and you want to sit in silence and just let God speak to you in whatever moment that you're in. I know in a lot of the busyness of my days, that's more what I choose, is just to sit quietly and just kind of have a quiet conversation with God and try to hear what he's saying to me. So I'm going to pray and then we'll get started with that. Dear Lord, thank you for this time once again. And pray that something that was said, or God, just the reading of your word would pierce our heart, God, that we would want to be righteous, want to be upright. God, that we would fear you. God, I pray that you'd quiet our busy life as we go into this time of prayer, so that we can hear from you, God, that we can speak to you, God, that we can pray on behalf of family members, church members, God. We can repent of things that we've struggled with this week. God, help us break strongholds that we struggle with. God, help us reconcile with friends and family. Just quiet our hearts. Quiet our minds. Quiet all the things that have happened this week. Let us focus on you in this time of prayer. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you want more information about FBC Halton, check us out on our website at fbchalton.org or follow us on social media at FBC Halton.